Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Wow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. Give the Lord a big clap. We praise you, Lamb of God. We honor you. Keep standing for a moment. I'll read to you what was quoted already, Zechariah 14:16. This is a prophetic of the end times, of the climax of the ages. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, since this is all nations, church day, all nations, say all nations. All nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall come up, will come up, and the city that's mentioned is Jerusalem. Say Jerusalem. So say Lord of hosts. And they're all connected here in this season as we are celebrating this very special occasion called the Feast of Tabernacles. So raise your hands. Say, we worship you, King of glory, Lord of hosts. Your name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Give him a big clap. We honor you. We bow before your majesty, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I was reading the Israeli news yesterday. And one of the things that's important for them also, that so many, and I wish we had this thousands here to celebrate these kinds of occasions where the Lord himself sets the date. He says, on these particular days, come and celebrate. Say, celebrate. So we are to celebrate. And on the Israeli news, they were noting how there are thousands of evangelical Christians who have gathered from all across the nations to worship the Lord of hosts. And some of you who are with us in, now Bonnie and I would do, we were special guests for the Christian embassy in Jerusalem, and they would, their days to celebrate was during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is during this season. And there are seven distinctive feasts, among the seven, three, the primary ones that mean so much to us, all of them, we have a meaning. But it's Passover, which for us is Easter. And then Pentecost, which is we honor the time where the Lord poured out his Holy Spirit 50 days after his resurrection. And then the Feast of Tabernacles. So this is that season, the spring harvest. And springtime was celebrated with the Easter season, Passover, 50 days later, Pentecost. But in the fall, either late September or October, is when this Feast of Tabernacles falls. That these are seasons that the Lord himself has established, and it is important for us to take note of them. It says in Deuteronomy 16, then, verse 13, you shall observe, this is from the Lord, this is the word of God, you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your wine press. So this is harvest time. Say harvest time. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce, in all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice. The Lord, how many of you want a special blessing in all that you lay your hands on? Amen? Just raise your hand. Say, I'm in line for the blessing. Me and my children. Me and my family. Amen. So there are particular blessings involved for us. So some of the significant points I want to make. And Bonnie and I, we went almost 23 years in a row during the 80s, late 70s, 80s. And most of the time I did the miracle services in Jerusalem most of those years. And all our four children during that time were dedicated at the Western Wall. So it was fun for us to do all of these things. But there is a connection as we celebrate. It was so wonderful. By the way, give a clap for everybody who got some, they wore national dress. Wasn't that great? Give them a clap. Thank you, guys. You look so lovely. I think I'm going to put it on when we break bread together later. But I was kind of, it gets a little too, where I can't move too well. It's a wonderful African chief's robe. So I like to wear that. I am from Africa, you know that. I was born in Kenya. And I often say I'm an American citizen, so I'm African-American. Yes. Glory to God. So, by the way, Pastor Bonnie sends her love to all of you. She is in Scotland, where Armin and company are right there. Stand up, you guys. They're in their Scottish outfit. Right here. Come up here so everybody can see. Yay. Hi. So great. What clan do you represent? By the way, this is a Scottish clan, okay? It's nothing.
Scotch.
Scotch.
Right, but that's not my clan.
Hi.
We're very comedy, right? Aren't you not Scott? Are you English? You're Welsh. You're English. Just the worst kind of all. Yeah. Douglas. We're from under the Douglas clans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Great. So you have any word from the Douglas clan?
No, you can't say that kind of stuff in church.
They had a slight problem with the British, as you may know. The English, and if you saw Braveheart and William Wallace. But just as an aside, as a postscript, Pastor Marty was invited by some of the people who have been very active in the Holy Spirit move right now. Though some of these regions in Europe are really, they need the fire of the Holy Spirit. I mean, our nation needs the fire too. But this is a time we pray and seek the Lord for the fresh fire, and they need a visitation. So Pastor Bonnie is there, but she is partly Scottish, and so she comes from the Braidfoot clan, and I have to be careful and keep an eye on her because she gets into the warrior clan mode and down with English, and I have to tell her, no, I'm not, even though I was a British citizen, we have no problem. All right, but all the nations, and it's beautiful, thank Sarah and all the Some of those ones who came and stayed late, I mean early this morning, to put up these flags of the nations. Aren't they wonderful? It's great to see. Praise God. And what it represents, all the nations. And we named this church, All Nations, for a prophetic reason. That the nations would come together. And then part of the prophetic word for all nations. It's not just one race or one nation, but all the nations will come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord of hosts, the King of glory, the Lord Jesus. Every year during the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're going to, and these are holy days, and for many years, like I said, we were blessed, and they helped us to get up there, and then now we love to go ourselves, of course, often, to Israel and to Jerusalem to worship the Lord at different times. But I'd love, especially, it just got into my bloodstream, this season of the Feast of Tabernacles. So according to the Lord's calendar, this is not really tradition. Like we have, it's a very godly tradition, Thanksgiving. But it's not, you don't find that particular date in Scripture. Or we have Christmas and then New Year's and we have 4th of July. Now put all of that together. 4th of July and Christmas and Thanksgiving, and you put it in that one season. That's what it means in Scripture to celebrate the Lord of hosts, during the Feast of Tabernacles. So this, and he has designated that there are going to be certain blessings that God, as you come and celebrate, that he will bless the work of your hands. He is going to bless your harvest, the produce, whatever you produce, whatever you sow, it'll come up hundredfold blessing. So there are wonderful things that God lines up. And I believe the Word of God. I believe everything. Amen? Hallelujah. When it says King James Version, I believe everything in that. So we have here, one of the things about the Feast of Tabernacles then, let me give you another scripture. One of the designated requirements for us is it says, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. Say, I shall rejoice before the Lord my God. So this is one of the specific times where God commands us to rejoice. All right? And all of that, it begins with the Feast of Trumpets in Leviticus. Let me see if I can find it here. Glory to God. Leviticus 23. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 23, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets. So a few days ago, we talked about the Feast of Trumpets, a holy convocation. And many times, we'll see this morning, I just wanted us to meditate on this season and all of it. The reason I want to emphasize this, it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Basically, all these feasts reveal to you the richness of the blessings that you have, we have as individuals, as families, in Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior. And so it's like layer after layer after layer of revelation of glory, of the glory of the presence of God, and how that you have nothing to fear. God is saying you do not be afraid, I am with you. My presence is with you. And The blessing of the Lamb of God over you and your household will continue generation after generation. So he says, here you shall do, it shall be a holy Sabbath. And then he says, it goes on. I'm just kind of summarizing a few scriptures. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, the 15th day of this month, the seventh month, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. This is Leviticus 23. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. 7 days you shall offer an offering. Remember, as we took an offering, remember, these are important things that God watches over as you offer, give offerings and all that. God blesses you. And it's not like he's bankrupt, but he's giving you an opportunity so you can sow seed that he blesses, and hundredfold, thousandfold does the Lord bring forth your seed. These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. So among the Jews, this is called Sukkot. We call it in English, we call it Feast of Tabernacles. But for the Jewish people, it's called Sukkot. Say Sukkot. And so Sukkot means tabernacles. And the individual word for it is Sukkah. And so you build, what they do is for 40 years, if you remember the Exodus story, if not the Exodus story, if you remember watching the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Anyway, they are freed from slavery after 400 years. And in a supernatural way, by the blessing of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, by eating the flesh of the Lamb, which we rehearsed. The communion every week that we do is a little bit of a rehearsal of the blessing of taking the blood of the Lamb and receiving by faith all the blessing of what the Lamb sacrifice means. Basically, it's about Jesus again. Behold the Lamb of God who takes the sins of the whole world. So as we talk about this, God just wants you to know that there is a purpose, there is a method. Hopefully it's not madness, but there, you could say there's a method in our madness, that as we rehearse the word of God, speak of the word of God in our midst today, that God watches over his word to perform it. So as you sit under this word, this is the living word. The word of God is alive. Say alive.
Alive.
Active.
Active.
Full of power.
Full of power.
So we are activating the word of God, and then therefore the blessing of the word. So as we share, as we pray in the context of this, we are seeing, even this year, we have seen cancers healed. We have seen autistic children start speaking. We have seen kidneys that were dying or dead restored. I mean, we have seen so many. We have seen people with schizophrenia being completely delivered. And if you remember the lady who stood up just a few weeks ago and said, I stood in for my niece and her seizure activity that she was born with was completely supernaturally healed, and they could not see anything on the MRI, the EEG, whatever that measures brain activity, that it had totally been diagnosed. She had this. She had definitely had this. And then suddenly, say suddenly, as she was prayed for, that little girl got an amazing miracle. No more seizures. And even her brain, all the readings of her brain said there is no more seizures. That damage in the brain was completely healed. So this is an aspect of this, that as we hover over the word, meditate over the word, God, the angels of God are here today to bless you, to heal people of different kinds of conditions, or even your children or your grandchildren, whatever ailment. And that God says, I'm going to take all that you saw up there, all that you lay your hands on, and I'm going to bless the work of your hands. So today, again, we are a people on an adventure, just like the people in the book of Exodus, that expect miracles, expect breakthrough. From time to time on our journey, we will get some attacks. And sometimes the evil one does his dark things, like we saw a few days ago in Vegas. But we have to keep our focus on the Lord, on the promises of the Word of God, and say, we are going to be blessed. Our children are going to be blessed. Our nation is going to be blessed. That we will not allow darkness to define us. So the Lord has these different ways by which he gets our attention. So in Israel, Sukkot, they say Sukkot, this is the season, Sukkot. S-U-K-K-O-T, Sukkot. And then we build in each home then, as they came out, 40 years, they were in the wilderness. God brought them out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land. So when God brings you out, you are headed towards full blessing. God says, I'm going to take care of you. Even as you go on the journey through the wilderness. And then bring you into the promised land. My teacher and mentor, Derek Pence, would say that as the Lord brought the children of Israel under Moses, then Joshua, into the promised land, God brings you through Jesus into the land of promises. So all the promises of God are yes and amen for you today. Healing is yours on the basis of the promise of the Word of God. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. I am the Lord your provider, Jehovah Jireh. Say provider. So, and we find all of this wrapped around that these different celebrations are revelations of Jesus. And you partake of them. And never say, well, I got been there, done that, gotten the t-shirt. No. Where God's blessings are concerned, you don't have enough t-shirts yet. There are more t-shirts out there. So we have, after a little while, we will bless the Lord and break for breaking bread, because this is the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's appropriate that. So don't worry if you didn't bring anything. We have plenty, and then we are people of faith. So we will pray over the rolls, and they're going to be multiplying. So, hallelujah. And the glory, even today, I just sense, as Katie was talking, blessing the communion elements, I just felt healing and refreshing. It's so good to be together, I'll tell you. Well, Pastor Bonnie and I, there were so many situations that are so hungry and thirsty for the glory here and in the nation. So we have been somewhat had to exceed to these invitation. So we, 3-4 weeks ago, we were in Compton in L.A. Then we had to be in Chicago. Then Bonnie and I went together to San Diego, and now she's in Scotland. So we have been staying busy. But in all of this, it's so good when we can come together, come back home, and get my batteries charged. Being in this worship, and believe me, oh, by the way, I tell you that we had an awesome watch, and the presence was so good, and I'll tell you, I said, I need this, oh, woo. The vibrations were just reviving me. Anyway, as we break, I just feel so zapped that I'm sorry, I feel like, oh, the word, so good, So good. So many wonderful things. But we have a sukkah. Say sukkah. So you may wander through there and look at it. It's a tabernacle. That's what, it's a little makeshift place. So on their journey, in the 40 years, they didn't know where, they didn't have hotels. There was no Marriott or Hilton or anything to book it. They just went and lived in temporary dwelling places. They would put some palm fronds and some branches together. And in the middle of it, all of thousands of these tabernacles all around, right in the middle, was where they would put the tent of meeting. And the glory would be right there emanating from that. The literal glory cloud would be there. And then at night, it would be a pillar of fire by night, which was a supernatural presence of God. The light and the fire of God was right there in the midst of them. So for 40 years, every night, they saw the glory, the pillar of fire by night, hovering over them, protecting them, loving on them. You are so awesome. There it is. They put that, the pillar, the fiery presence of the pillar in the middle of the whole encampment. There are all thousands of these little tabernacles, but in the middle, the glory of the Lord literally was with them. And basically, God, and that is a word for you, for your family, in the instances that you're going through, whatever, remember that what God says, remember the big word, and the big word, say big word, defines the small situation. So your daily challenges, whatever it is, what does God say? He, the big thing, defines the small thing. Never let the small thing, the small incidents, define who you are and what you are and how you're going to behave in that. You are guided by the presence of God and the Word of God and the promises of God. So God says, I want you from now on, remember, I was with you. My glory was with you, and it will always be with you. Never be afraid. I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I said on Friday night, that promise in book of Hebrews, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That word in Greek, never, is a fivefold repetition in itself, which means I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. That's God's promise for you. So this every year after that, God says, from now on, I'm making a memorial for you, for your sake, not for me. I don't feel nervous or anxious, but for your sake, so you will remember I'm the God who never leaves you nor forsakes you, you and your children. So build a sukkah every year. Remember when I was with your great-great-great-granddad and my grandma, and my presence was there with them. Every night they looked up and through the branches they could see the glory of the Lord. Cloudy pillar by day, so any enemy that would come against them, the pillar would go fight, the presence would fight against the enemies. So this is, we are celebrating all of the awesomeness of God and the journey towards the promised land. And the promised land provision is for you and your children. In that context then, I just wanted to, we will read to you then the Gospel of John. All right? Now you go. For a moment, come with me to the Gospel of John. And while you do that, I want to, in a moment, we're going to talk about the water ceremony. And one of the significant revelations of Jesus during the Feast of Tabernacles. So as the water ceremony, at different junctures, they'll blow the shofar. This is part of the feast. We began with the Feast of Trumpets. Then came Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, the new year began, Jewish New Year. Then the Day of Atonement, the holiest day, where the blood is taken by the high priest in the Holy of Holies. Then, which leads us a few days later into the Feast of Tabernacles. So these are all dates set on the calendar, God's calendar, in right now. I gave you some scriptures like Leviticus and Deuteronomy. These are designated by the Lord. And at different occasions, they say, and then they blew the trumpet at the water ceremony. So we will see the water ceremony in a moment. Yes, thank you. I love this nation's flags here. I feel like, yes, we are speaking to the nations. And through our World Wide Web here, we are broadcasting right now to the nations. They are watching us. So wonderful. All right, are you in the book of John, Gospel of John? It says in verse 2, Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 2, and we're going to jump for the sake of time, saving time. I'm not going to read all. But he says, now the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So this is specifically saying, now they were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Just like we have days, weeks. Okay, and November is coming soon. We're going to have Thanksgiving. In the same way, this is the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. And then we'll jump to verse 10. But when his brothers, that Jesus' brothers, had gone up, then he also went up to the feast. Not openly, but as it were in secret. So he has gone up to Jerusalem, to the temple, during the feast. The feast. So say the feast. So this is what we're talking about here. Jesus is attending and celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And basically, in a few moments, we'll find out how it's really all about him. It's the revelation of the Messiah. By the way, a couple of chapters before, he has just declared, I am the bread of life. A few verses on in John 8, John 7, we'll amplify in a moment, but John 8, he says, I am the light of the world. So these are parts of the ceremony, but it's really talking about him. So, as the feast is going on, he is teaching in the temple. Verse 14, now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled. So, by the way, if I have time, I'll explain to you. Because they would all, during the Feast of Tabernacles, be holding these elements, the four elements, they call them, representing, again, the different aspects of the Feast of Tabernacles. So this is, if you see this, there is a reason where we are holding that. This is part according to the instructions the Lord gave them, that you'd hold this together. So, verse 14, now by the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? And then, here is one of the significant things for us who love the things about the third person, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And he says, verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And see, we often, if we don't know in what context is happening, we look at the surface and we just get a surface blessing. But the deeper we understand the context in which all of this is happening, then you will get the depths of the blessing and the revelation of Jesus. So this is in Leviticus 23, like I read to you, that this is part of the Feast of Tabernacles, that the priest would go, and this is part of the water drawing ceremony, that the priest, with a lot of worshipers and trumpeters, would be with a troop. The worshipers are going with the priest, and he goes to the Pool of Siloam. If you remember, that's where the blind man gets healed. And so the priest is going and taking the water from the Pool of Siloam. So he has a bowl that is, one container is full of wine, the other container contains the water. This is the water drawing ceremony during the Feast of Tabernacles. So I'm summarizing a lot of things here, so forgive me, but I'm going fast to kind of draw a picture that there is all of this awesome things happening during this celebration, and all of that is for you to draw more meaning of the richness of salvation in Jesus Christ and how his faithfulness of the Lord is with us. You should, one of the things as I, year after year, and I got into and got near into the meaning of all of this, and it became not so much understanding here, but revelation here. May you get, even today, more of a revelation of the love of Jesus Christ, of the power of God to save and bless you and heal you, even in the most desperate circumstances. Know that the God that we worship is a God of breakthrough, of miracles, of deliverance, that no enemy who comes against you can have victory over you, because Jesus is with us and he will help us overcome any power of any enemy, because the Lord has said, I am with you. So may his presence be with you individually and for us as God's people. So here the priest has gotten the water, and then it's a big ceremony, and then they march up to the temple and then put it on the altars, the water and the wine. So, and while they're doing it, by the way, they are confessing from Psalms, and it's Psalms 118 that they are they're saying this psalm. While they're drawing the water and going up to the temple, they are singing psalm from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. I don't know the exact tune they were singing, but let them now that fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever. I'll call upon the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Say, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can men do unto me? And see, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. We can certainly say that as we look at Washington and a lot of other things. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Anyway. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He has blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Again, that's one of the scriptures that talked about Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Therefore, and they went as we took the water from the pool of Siloam. They go through the water gate, it says, and blasting the atmosphere with the shofar, with the trumpet blast, and thanking the Lord at this season for a bountiful harvest. So this is the time where as they're drawing the water, and it's to do with the Lord provided water for them as they went through the desert and the wilderness, then at that time is when Jesus is saying, listen, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. So take note when Jesus is giving this promise. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. He introduces the awesome revelation of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Out of you shall flow rivers of living water. Are you flowing with rivers of living? There should be a, you should have a noisy belly. It's not because you're hungry, but it's so full of praise. It's roaring. I got praise in my belly. Out of your belly, say, put your hand on your belly. Say, this is, out of, here, in some translations say out of his heart, but it's King James, or it's out of your belly. And really, I feel like that's the location of your spirit often. Well, that's my own little theory, but a lot of my mentors felt like that too, right here. Put your hand on your belly. Say, out of my belly,
out of my belly.
River.
River.
Now, this is living water, okay? That's the Holy Spirit. And I love that commercial where that man, it's really, I'm sorry to say, it's a beer commercial. But remember that man who says, stay thirsty, my friends. Tell your neighbor, stay thirsty, neighbor. And it's to do with the Holy Spirit. I was reading, and I remember the story some years back, that a man, a Navy man, I forget his name, I'll find out. I think I wrote it somewhere. There was in the Persian Gulf, he was on one of the Navy ships. He was a Marine. And somehow something happened and a wave came and he got dislodged from where he was and fell into the ocean. And nobody knew he had fallen overboard. And so nobody was searching. And by the time they realized he was gone, it had been so long that they just said, well, he's dead. I mean, no one could survive. So it was about 2 days later that they really realized he was dead. And when everybody thought he was dead, he wasn't. He had learned some survival. Part of it was he had, in the water, in the ocean, he took off his pants and made it a flotation device and floated for nearly 4 days. And some poor Pakistani fishermen in the Persian Gulf that happened to be fishing, they found him. And the main thing they found, and the main thing he wanted, the only thing he wanted was water. So what he desperately needed was water. And basically, if we get as thirsty for the presence of God, and as we fall in love with God, even afresh, that it's when we are as thirsty as that man who got so thirsty, he would do anything for water. If anyone, that's the kind of thirst the Lord says, get thirsty for more of his presence. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. So the source of the living water is Jesus Christ. And then the in Gospel of John, then, Gospel of John chapter 8, then, we talked about John 37 through 39. And verse, now early in the morning he came again into the temple and all the people came to him. And after he forgives this woman taken in adultery, I'm summarizing. Then Jesus spoke, verse 12, saying, I am, again, I want to emphasize, this is during that season of the Feast of Tabernacles. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So, I am, say, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is the source of light. I am. This is one of those declarations of I am. Remember what at the burning bush, Moses comes into the presence of the glory of God. And from the glory, the voice of God speaks to him and gives him instructions how to set his people free, how to declare to Pharaoh, let my people go. And as he gets this commission, he says, who shall I say sent me? And God, through the glory, this is the Shekinah, the glory light, presence of God. God says, I am that I am, tell them. And then, these are the later revelations that God amplifies. Who is I am? Jesus comes and says in the Gospel of John, I am the bread of life. I am the rock that follows you from whom water comes. That anyone is thirsty, he can come and drink. And if you have been in the Middle Eastern or in the Israeli desert, one of the first things you find as a tourist, how many of you had a chance to tour in Israel? And some who are with me, that we used to, one of our main thing we would carry is a big water jug. Wherever we were, we each have water. Why is that? Because that atmosphere dehydrates you. Believe me, spiritually, we live in this world. I can guarantee, spiritually, most of the people you see are dehydrated people. They desperately need a drink from the well of salvation. They need the Jesus presence of God to fill them with His wonderful Holy Spirit. And may your belly be full of gurgling, full of praise. If you're full of the water of life, then you'll be full of praise and thanksgiving and worship. If you're low, you need a drink. Tell your neighbor, you may need a drink. As our Scottish representative pointed us. All right. By the way, I was going to mention this, that you'll find among the Jewish people at the Feast Tabernacle, if you look at some of the news media, it would be good for you to see what they are doing in Israel. I was watching the live coverage of the Western Wall and then some of the things happening in Jerusalem. And almost all the Orthodox Jewish believers were carrying this and they were worshiping, some at the West, at the Western Wall. And this lemon-like citrus fruit is called the etrog. Say etrog. And it symbolizes the heart in which we are to exercise faith and ongoing repentance, where it's easy to, for us, if you make a mistake, you say, I'm sorry, I goofed. And we should be malleable people. And pride should be far from us. So that indicates we are walking humbly before our God. And healing and redemption is our portion. Then there is the lulav, the palm frond. And they wave it during this time. And this is the heart, that this represents the spine. That we are strong. We have a strong spinal column. That we have conviction of what we believe, and the strength that we get from the living God, that we are strong people, made strong by our faith in Jesus Christ. And then we have the hadas, the three myrtle branches. They are, as this is the heart, this is the spine, then this is our seeing and vision. That we are people of sight. We see God in all things. That we are able to have faith. And that we have people not only of sight, but of vision. That without a vision, people perish. So I'm not perishing because I have a vision. I have a vision for my life. And I have no fear. One of the things, as I was talking about all of this, I remember when, years ago, in a practical sense, the way it applies in our lives, 16 years ago, I was in Dublin, Ireland, and I got sick. And I made it to London, barely. Then I went to I was far from my regular physician in London. I went to Harley Street in one of the good doctors there, and he said, you don't go home. I said, to America? He said, no, right now. You go directly, I'm sending you to hospital. And they found something very wrong with my intestines, and they said, we have to go in and do, there were five surgeons that were consulting together. That's their practice in England, it's unique. Here, if you see one surgeon every 2 days, it's like you got a visit from God. England is different. You know, five surgeons can. And they say, we have to go in tonight. I said, what if you don't? I would rather go home. And so you will die in 48 hours. That was the seriousness. And suddenly, you would think, and it felt like if thing didn't go right, I would be dead in 48 hours. And the glory suddenly came in. And I started laughing. And I have never been so joyful. It was a supernatural glory that came, the river. And I was saying, that's great. I'll be with the Lord. And there was no fear, and it was not a put on. It wasn't because I'm a pastor or a man, nothing like that. It's being so connected to the Lord, I knew that I would be in the presence of the glory. And there was no fear. And that's all of this. I just want to say personally, is may we be renewed in our faith. That this is all to say, we're on a journey. What's the song? I'm bound for the promised land. And my greater promised land is heaven. So all of this, by the way, this, and it gives you, we are a people with vision. And there is no fear that we should have. And then the final thing here, the fourth element, is the branch of a willow tree. And this one symbolizes this all tied up together. But this one, Arava, it says, it's a branch of the willow tree. It symbolizes ultimate victory that God gives over all our enemies. And so therefore, because victory is mine, say victory is mine. God commands you at this season to be happy and to rejoice. Tell your neighbor, rejoice, neighbor. And you give to the Lord thanks for victory. Say, thank you, Lord. And then thank the Lord for the harvest, for all the provision that he gives you at this season. And that we have a call, that we have an end time call, that one day we'll be with all the people who are coming together to worship the King in Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles. We are called, Galatians tells us, Galatians 6:15-16, that we are the Israel of God. Okay, so there is the natural Israel, but we are the spiritual Israel. And so all of this fits in into our journey of faith. It's a Feast of Tabernacles is a feast of ingathering. It is a prophetic. All of these we are doing at this moment as we celebrate and talked about the Feast of Tabernacles. It is very prophetic, and it symbolizes that whatever has happened in our fast, that God says, through the blood of Jesus, you have full restoration of your relationship with the living God, and therefore with all the blessings of God. So this is Sukkot. It's 2 Chronicles 5:3 says it's a feast of unity. Psalm 126 points us, it's a feast of joy. Say unity.
Unity.
Say joy.
Joy.
It is also the feast of gathering in the harvest. I just got a text from a pastor who's saying, pray for a baby who has severe seizure activity. So right now we are agreeing. I just got this text, an emergency prayer for baby Isaac. All right? So as we talked about, how about that? We've talked about seizures being healed, and there, I just got a message from a wonderful pastor who says there's an emergency for Isaac, a little baby. So we agree in prayer that this is the time the Holy Spirit is going out to bless Isaac during the Feast of Tabernacles. And that it is also, Jesus is our, it's a feast of rest. And it's a feast of glory, celebrating the glory, the Shekinah. So that's the Sukkah. We look through the gaps and we see the literal glory of God as a pillar of fire at night, the cloud by day. And it's also called the Feast of His Appearing. And according to the book of Joel, it is a feast of restoration. So where and in restoration, I'm talking about the book of Joel, this celebrates restoration. So if you need increase, how many of you need increase? So I want increase. I want either increase of faith or increase of finances. Increase of wisdom. How many of you need wisdom? Yeah? So I claim wisdom. Increase. Amen. Often we need direction. And the Lord will purposely bring you a time where, oh Lord, I don't know what to do. And at that time, the Lord said, I will be your wisdom. Wisdom is a person named Jesus Christ. Today, many of you who need wisdom, we are celebrating the fact He is your wisdom. He is your revelation. So, and then Joel says, through this promise of restoration, fresh anointing and miracle glory, financial abundance. God says, I will not let you get ashamed, but I will deliver you out of the hand of your enemy. And the blessing of Joel then, my presence will always go with you. Joel chapter 2, 23 applies here. For I will give you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. So, former rain is the rain in the spring, and the latter rain is the rain that he sends September, October season. And the first rain prepares the land for seed time, and the latter rain prepares the land for harvest. And what God says is, I'm going to give you, with my blessing, both of these rains together, the former rain and the latter rain. So seed time and harvest come together in the glory. So this is the season for special blessing. As we blow the shofar, your harvest season, God is giving you a double portion for all these things during the Feast of Tabernacles. All righty, glory. So I'm going to blow the shofar. I want you to stand where you can, and we're going to bless our time. The nations are gathering to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. May the glory of the God of Israel shine over you. May you know, just raise your hand, may you see fresh the presence of the cloudy pillar and the pillar of fire by night dwell over you. May seasons of refreshing and restoration be loosed over each of us, that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. At this Feast of Tabernacles, Lord, 2017, we ask for the former and latter rain, for your outpouring, for your Holy Spirit. We are saying, Lord, that we are people who are thirsty for more of your presence. Pour out your Spirit over us and across the land, across America, Lord. We are a thirsty people. We need more of your presence and your blessing. Come, the times of restoration may come from the throne of God. Lord of hosts, King of glory, we bless your name and worship. Give him a big shout. Let's sing. And as we sing, then in a few moments, we're going to ask the healing team to come. If you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to give your life to the Lord, you can come. A people ready to pray for you. But in a moment then, we'll go and break bread together during this wonderful time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Glory to God. Let's sing. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.